It's Red Podcast, episode number 259. Talking about the new direction of Red Podcast, also a story of moving forward from our former Red Podcast co-host.
This is the Red Podcast. Here's your host, David Hooper.
Maybe 12, 13 years ago, my parents adopted a dog, and she had a very interesting background. She was raised by a breeder, and for the record, I'm against that kind of thing. I think that we've got enough dogs, and they seem to be able to have babies all on their own. We don't need to breed anymore. This was a little bit different in that people weren't looking for a purebred dog when Ella was bred. They were looking for a service dog. So immediately after Ella was born, she went into training to be a service dog, kind of like a C&I dog, a helper dog. She wasn't C&I. I'm not sure exactly what they were breeding her to do, what they were training her to do, but it was that same process that a C&I dog would go through. She had to be with her trainer for a year. And what I mean by that is everywhere her trainer would go, the dog was there. Trainer goes to the grocery, the dog is there. Trainer goes to the gym, the dog is there. Trainer's in church, the dog is there. Wherever the trainer is, the dog is there. Technically, she's a service animal. Maybe you're familiar with the Americans with Disabilities Act. This is a real service animal. This isn't one of those therapy dogs and somebody's got it for emotional support. She was authentic. She could fly. She could go anywhere the trainer went. That was part of her training. In fact, the first time that I ever met this dog, it was at a party. She had a little worker vest on, light blue, and it says, "Do not pet." Funny story, I was at a meeting just a few years ago, and the place that we met is one of these chain restaurants, but not like fast food, maybe like a Shoney's or Applebee's or something. And we're in this meeting room, and there are photos of dogs everywhere. So I'm looking at them. I go, "Man, that dog looks familiar." And then I look at the name, and it says Ella. And she was there in this meeting room because I guess like the Kiwanis Club or some kind of club who donated to service dogs to get them into the hands of people who need them was meeting in this room. And they had photos of all these dogs on the wall that they had helped support, helped get training for. Ella was one of those dogs. And here's how my mother ended up with Ella. At the end of the training, Ella was rejected, not because of poor training, but because of food allergies. This is something a lot of people don't know. But when you've got a C&I dog or you've got a service animal, people get attached to those animals and you're with them for the entire year. And that dog could be placed anywhere in North America. They don't let you know where it is. You lose complete contact with it. But because the dog can be placed anywhere in America, they have to have the dog able to eat a food that could be found anywhere in America. That food, Purina Chow, Ella could not eat it. Had some kind of wheat allergy or something. And my mother knew the trainer, and she said, "We'll take her. We'll get her transitioned into a normal dog's life." So I got a letter from my mother this morning. And normally she would call me about this kind of thing, but my father and my mother, they're in Norway right now. She couldn't call. Ella, who was staying here with a caretaker, unfortunately, about 13 years old, she stopped eating. She'd had some hip issues, had some other lung stuff going on. They had to put her down. And I'm telling you this story because as I transition into what I call Red 4.0, the next version of Red Podcast, I felt this was a great way to end the current version and to look forward into the future. I've been doing this podcast for 5 years. And when I started, there were a couple of things about it that don't happen on this podcast. Now, the first is that I started this podcast with a co-host, Laurel Staples. I went on to marry Laurel Staples. Now, that wasn't that we met through the podcast. We were already together, but she did become my wife after the podcast started. So when we started this, we weren't married, but we kind of brought you along on that. So a lot of people got attached to Laurel. She was on the website forever, long after she decided to move on from this podcast to doing other things. And we also had a third co-host, although somewhat by accident, a mountain cur dog named Samba. I mentioned earlier talking about adopting dogs, mixed dogs. That's actually what cur means. Cur means mix. If you imagine a little tiny German Shepherd, kind of Labrador, kind of Coonhound, That was Samba. Docktail, tricolor, super cool dog. And the reason I call him a co-host, because when we started this, I didn't know that podcasting was going to be what it is for me right now. 5 years ago, I was in radio. I've been doing radio for a while. But when we started this, we would do it in our home offices. I have an office on the second floor. Laurel has an office on the first floor. And in that office, in her office, Samba would be on the couch. The office is by the front door. Sometimes somebody would knock on the door. Samba would, here, let me play this clip.
Saw her coming.
Who is it?
She just put a flyer on our door.
Wow.
It was good timing, though.
That was perfect timing.
Go to your bed. Go to your bed. It's okay. She's gone.
So that was Laurel trying to hide so somebody won't see her recording this podcast. The dog is going. We're trying to calm him down so we can continue recording the podcast. You hear me upstairs, not really knowing what's going on because the whole thing was remote. I still get messages from people who ask about Samba. And like Ella, he's also somebody who's got an interesting story. And I think that you're going to be able to relate to this when it comes to building your business. It's also related to the new direction of Red Podcast. So first of all, just so there are no surprises, we had to put Samba down about a year ago. He was a rescue. I don't have any idea how old he was. Probably 13, maybe 15. 6 years before that, he went blind. And I mean completely blind. He had something called SARDS, S-A-R-D-S, which is Sudden Acquired Retinal Deterioration Syndrome. One day retinas are in, he's seeing fine. Next thing you know, can't see a thing. And we thought that that was going to get him. Went to a dog ophthalmologist, a specialist that just happens to be in Nashville, Tennessee, the only one in the state. She explains to us, though, she said, you know, I think he's going to be okay. Dogs don't drive. Dogs don't have to read. They can hear well. They can smell well. I think he's going to be fine. So what we did, I don't live in a shotgun house, but we do have one hallway that goes from the front to the back. And we got a runner. Basically, a huge runway. So Samba's not on the hardwood floors. He can feel his way with that runner to go to the front and to the back. And basically, depending on where he is, jump off to various carpets along the way. We called it Samba Island, Isle of Samba, Samba Runway. Each of these things had a different name. And using those tools, he was able to live a very full life. About 3 years after that happened, Samba started having kidney issues. So up until he died, we were giving him about 400 milliliters of fluid every other day, kind of like dialysis, basically flushing out his kidneys. We thought that was going to get him. But what ended up happening was through a special diet, a low-protein diet that was easy on his kidneys, and this fluid, the dialysis, flushing out those kidneys, he did fine. During this time, he had on and off vestibular issues, meaning he was dizzy, couldn't see, so he didn't know what direction was up and down. I would pick him up. I would carry him down 5 steps to the front yard, put him down. Sometimes he would just fall over. One day, animal control showed up at my house. Somebody saw me carry this limp dog down the stairs, plop him down in the front yard. The dog falls over. He had to get his bearings. Somebody thought the dog was being abused, that he wasn't well. So animal control comes over. We show animal control the records. We're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to figure out what is going on with Samba. Very nice experience. I was thankful to the neighbors for looking out for these dogs. I don't blame them. Like I mentioned, I'm big on adoption. I've been a vegetarian for over 20 years. I don't wear leather. I'm big on the welfare of animals. So I was grateful for that. And what ended up happening, just like the fluids and the diet, everything about his kidneys got under control. The vestibular, it would come and go. But it didn't kill him. But you can imagine how scary that was. Me picking the dog up, going out to the front. He just plops down, not really standing up, taking a minute to get his bearings. After the blindness, the kidneys, I was like, well, it's finally it. But that wasn't it. And I'm telling you these stories about these dogs because I think it's a common thing and it's something that we go through as business owners, is that what we think is going to stop us and what we think is going to be the ends of our careers, our financial stability, our marriages maybe, that is not usually what stops us. Every time I thought it was over for this dog, he came back. Like with Ella, she's had a year of specialized training to be a service animal. She didn't pass the allergy test. She went on to live a great life, not working, but lounging, living that dog's life, just hanging out, and had a great, great life. How many times have you thought that it was over for you? I know for me, my career, I've reinvented myself about 3 times over the last 20 years. And the big reinvention is this podcast and what I'm doing in podcasting now. The book that I've been talking about for the last few months, which, by the way, if you don't have that book and you're interested in marketing via podcasting, bigpodcast.com/book is how to get more information about that. But I came to the end of my music business career by choice because I was completely exhausted from 20-something years of working with musicians. I said, I'm done. I'm sick of being a babysitter. I am done. Needed somewhere to go. Didn't know where I was going to go. Found this. I had somewhat of a background in radio. I did it in college, post-college. Of course, music business radio, which has been on the air since 2005 and is still on the air. But I never thought that I would be this involved with podcasting and broadcasting. I just knew I was done with music and I needed somewhere to go. It's presented itself. And you know, the irony of it is I have so many labels and so many artists coming to me that want to get involved in podcasting. I'm working with bigger acts than I have ever worked with before, thanks to podcasting. And I was done with the music business. I don't want to mention it. I don't want to talk about it. I am done. I'm going to focus more on entrepreneurs, experts. That's what this podcast is, the podcast for experts. And I still work with non-musicians, but that background, you can't deny your background. And there's opportunity there and I can help people. So now I'm back in the music business and working with experts. That's the big lesson of these stories. Every time you think something is over, a new beginning presents itself. And when that new beginning presents itself, sometimes that thing that you thought was over isn't over. Of course, I'm going to wrap up this about Samba. I've already told you the end and what happened to that. Everything does come to an end eventually. For Samba, we have no idea what it was. The doctor, she didn't know what it was. There was some swelling in his head. It didn't look very comfortable. We had to make the decision to euthanize him. And I tell you this part of the story because sometimes these decisions, these things that are coming up that we think are going to be the end, they're on us. We are making those decisions, the decision to walk away, the decision to say yes, the decision to get divorced, sell the house, buy an office. We worry about these decisions thinking, oh my gosh, I can't possibly make that decision. It's too big. So we do nothing. And I was worried about making the decision to euthanize. Like I said, I've got this dog. He's going through vestibular stuff. Looks so bad. Animal control is being called on me. Now, he wasn't suffering. We checked with the doctor. We're trying to do the right thing. But you still wonder, am I waiting too long? Is this my ego getting in the way of this? Is this me keeping this dog alive and putting him through more than he needs to be put through? Or on the other side of that, am I pulling the trigger way too quickly on this, not giving him an opportunity to rebound? It is tough to know when your timing is right on a decision. So I was worried about making that decision to euthanize. But eventually I did have to make that decision. So I made an appointment with a vet that does home euthanasia, and that's what we did. And just as a side note, if this is something that you're dealing with or something that you will be dealing with, it was a very gentle, natural thing. I didn't know how I was going to handle it. I didn't know if I was going to be able to be in the same room, completely lose it, but it was fine. It was certainly better than watching your friend suffer. So I would recommend that to anybody who's going through this. As a matter of fact, going through that process, I would do it on a human. If I knew somebody was suffering and that was the agreed upon agreement, I'd be like, yeah, I'd be comfortable helping you out with that. That's what a great experience it was for me. Not because you want to go through with that, but just because you're doing something compassionate for somebody that you love. Anyway, We had two dogs at the time. We had Samba. We had a younger dog named Parker, still have Parker. And at the time, I took each of them out about 4 or 5 times a day. Because Samba, man, he was old. Parker, I was trying to train him. And I remember on the night of Samba's euthanasia, I took Parker out. And I was still on autopilot. And my routine was this. I would take Parker out. Parker's a young dog. He's a couple years old. Take him out. Walk him around the block. Come back in. And I thought to myself as I was walking up those steps that I used to take Samba down, said, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to get Samba. I'm going to take him out. Then I'm going to go to bed. And of course, when I came back in, Samba's stuff was still there. It was right in the front room, right by the door, but no Samba. That is when I lost my shit. I went straight to the bedroom. My wife's already in there. I lost it. I was crying like a baby. But even when that was all fresh, I was thinking, man, I would do this all over again. The fluids, the doctor visits, taking him out 5 times a day. Samba came with my wife. He was her dog at first and not mine. He moved around with her to 9 different places, different jobs. She owned a retail clothing store at one time. He'd been the store dog. He was in the newspaper. And without him, she wouldn't be who she is, and I wouldn't be who I am. And thinking about that, the good is way better than the bad. I don't even like to use that word bad. If you want the good, you have to go through the stuff that's not so comfortable. That's with dogs. That's with relationships with people. That's with your business. Investments, living situations. If you want the good, you've got to jump in fully. And even though some parts might be painful and everything comes to an end eventually, it's still worth it. And that's where I am right now with Red Podcast. These last 5 years, that's done. That's what got me to where I am now. I'm moving forward fully with what I call Red 4.0. I'm going to be taking some great entrepreneurs, experts, and other businesses and talk about stories of jumping in fully, the highs, the lows, the uncertainty. I'm still going to be doing these solo episodes, but I'm also going to be bringing in other people. So if you're interested in being a guest on Red Podcast, let's talk. Best way for you to reach out to me, bigpodcast.com. If you want to send me a message via Twitter, at David Hooper is the way to do that. My goal for this next phase is to give you interviews, maybe with some people that you know, certainly some people that you don't know, because I like the discovery of that, bringing new people to you. But if I do interview people that you know, we will be having conversations that you have not heard elsewhere. I've been doing this a long time, and I've gotten to the point where I am very comfortable asking questions, the questions that you want to ask, but other people are afraid to ask. So if you're interested in having those deep conversations, I want you to continue to subscribe to Red Podcast. Bigpodcast.com/subscribe has all the information that you need to not only get Red Podcast, but the other podcasts that I'm involved with, including Build a Big Podcast. You want to build a big podcast, spread your message via podcasting. That one would be for you. I've got a newsletter there. Bigpodcast.com/subscribe has all of this on one page so you can pick and choose what you like, what works for you, and leave the rest. Thank you so much for the last 5 years of Red Podcast. It's been quite a run. I'm looking forward to the new Red Podcast that is coming very, very soon. I've been working on it. As you can see, the new branding is already in place. I will have more episodes for you very, very soon.
You've been listening to Red Podcast. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now with your iPhone, Android, or via RSS at redpodcast.com.